From the KUNV studios in Las Vegas, you're listening to Our Metropolis, a weekly interview program with people who are changing the face of Las Vegas. And now, here is your host.
I'm your host, John Katsalamidis, author of the Cats Report on Las Vegas Sun and LasVegasWeekly.com, and in the Las Vegas Sun print edition three times a week on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Joining us this week are representatives of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Southern Nevada. The organization's mission is to help children to reach their potential through professionally supported one-to-one relationships. And here to talk about the organization's services and its upcoming Big Mix at Fashion Show Mall are its manager, Kobe Shaw. We have a big brother, Louis Banson, with us, and his little brother, Logan Hubert. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, John.
Hey. Welcome to the studio. Welcome to the show. And first of all, Kobe, this is your second time here with us.
Yes, sir.
Just tell us a little bit about the status of the organization right now, how things are going, and what services are you provide, and what some of the needs are out there.
Big picture-wise, right now, I'd say as a not-for-profit in Southern Nevada, relatively speaking, we're doing well.
Yeah.
I know we spoke last year, and we were facing some financial difficulties.
Right.
The board of directors decided to go with a more financially focused CEO. Angela Quinn has helped us in the past couple of months go with certain funding opportunities through grants. For instance, the Lindsay Foundation helped us out quite a bit at the beginning of the year.
And what's the Lindsay Foundation for?
Lindsay Foundation is Kirkorian.
Right, that's the philanthropic arm of MGM Resorts.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. That's right. Just filling in the gaps.
Yes, sir. And really has put us in a spot financially where we can stop just worrying about if the doors are going to be open tomorrow and what we can do programmatically 6 months, 12 months into the future. Right now we are serving approximately 400 youth in the Vegas Valley area. We are in 14 different sites right now for our site-based program.
Okay.
9 different elementary schools, 4 Boys and Girls Clubs, and 1 YMCA. And what we are doing at the site-based program, and Louie and Logan talk a little bit more about this.
Right.
We're extending our reach into some of the neighborhoods that we weren't in before.
So where would those neighborhoods be? Are they in a specifically targeted area? Or are they just the ones that happen to be the next on the list for?
Well, it's need. It's based on the Clark County School District and where they have signified where most of say school X has 40% truancy rate, school Y has a 20% truancy rate. We would focus on the higher truancy,
the higher
rate.
Statistic.
Yes.
Yeah, and truancy is the barometer that can be used to judge need.
That is right now, and this is really coming from the Clark County School District. Truancy is looked at as the gateway bad thing because truancy then leads to all sorts of other.
There's a lot tied into truancy.
Yes.
There's a lack of learning when you were truant, and then there's a lot of opportunity to do some bad things or things that are unhealthy out there as you're operating in a truant society, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It revolves around accountability for the child.
Uh-huh.
So that's from an organizational standpoint, that's kind of where we have been headed up until, I'd say now, given another 4 months or so. And then after this 4 month period, probably the beginning of next year, we're going to start expanding even more for our community-based program.
That's one thing I wanted to ask you about. And another thing I wanted to touch on before we get too far away from this particular end of the topic is, what are the criteria for a little and also for somebody who wants to be a big brother or big sister?
That's a great question.
What do they have to meet?
For a little, there is no criteria except that he or she be willing to be in the program between the ages of 5 and 17, and the legal guardian, parent, grandmother, whomever, is willing as well. This can't be court ordered. We found that it's actually negative if a child is forced into some type of relationship with an adult, then it just becomes punishment.
There can be a number of chemistry problems right away if you're court ordered to be in a big brother.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
The whole concept of one-to-one mentorship kind of flies right out the window there.
Well, when the one has got the court behind him, it's a little out of balance. One has the hammer. Yeah, that can breed a lot of resentment before the little even has a chance to interact with the big.
Right. And from the big standpoint, What we look at is we're actually recruiting heavily for males throughout the valley. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of women that want to volunteer, but we're lacking significantly in big brothers. And the reason I say that is not only do we get more women that want to volunteer as bigs, but there is a bigger need for big brothers in that there are more little brothers that are in the system.
More males,
yes.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that there's a relative dearth of men who want to step up and do this?
I couldn't speak from the volunteer side. I know from the need side, what we look at is single parent families. And traditionally what we're looking at is a single mom has a little boy and she doesn't know what to do when he hits, 10, 11 years old. Like, she's not going to go out and play baseball with him. And the questions that come up and the different life issues that as that young man starts to progress, that from a need standpoint. Now, to answer your question from the volunteer standpoint, being a male and volunteering, I don't know. And Louis probably feels the same way. We get a bad rap because in the philanthropic world, you're going to have more females, statistically speaking, that are either giving of time or money. And that's just, it's kind of across the board. I hate to say that, but it's
true. That's not just true of Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Nah. From what you found, it's true of all charitable activity?
Yes.
Wow, I hadn't heard that. I guess we better have a meeting.
guys get together, yeah.
I hadn't heard that before. I'm wondering how, the unemployment climate plays into this also, because we were at 15% for the valley now. It's not getting any better. And I would think that there would be some highly qualified men and women and, willing to and have the time to do something like this. Have you found that the unemployment is helping you field a higher, at least quality of volunteer?
Boy, that's a really good question, too. I can answer it from the need side again.
Okay.
That it's this vicious cycle that as unemployment increases, so does the need for a program like Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And I would argue pretty much any not-for-profit that offers mm-hmm. this type of service in the Valley. From a big standpoint, I don't think that it's really affected our intake, our interest as far as people wanting to come in and volunteer. What we usually find are people that have, what we look for is folks that have a steady job, have been in the Valley for at least 12 months, and are going to be in the Valley for at least the next 12 months. So we want that commitment of at least 1 year.
Uh-huh.
For somebody that's unemployed, is that person going to be in the Valley? They might be, they might not be. So I don't know if it's necessarily increased our interest as far as the community goes, but we are, the backward side of that is obviously we're looking for bigs that are employed because that's mm-hmm. that's
showing stability.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's get the big and little into this conversation. Louis, how did you and Logan connect? How did you reach out to Big Brothers Big Sisters, and how did you guys meet?
It actually happened my senior year in college. I was in a fraternity, but by the time I was in my senior year, I kind of, was forming a relationship with a girl that I met, and I was kind of doing my own thing. And one of the brothers in my fraternity reached out and said that, hey, we're doing this thing for the Boys and Girls Club. It's called Boys Night Out. You get connected with, one of the boys that they have, and you compete in all these different events. And at the end of the night, they give awards. And it was something that was unusual because you're usually getting invited to parties and different things like that. And I'm like, mm-hmm. really? We're even involved with something like that? So just with an open mind, I went, not expecting much out of it. And although I was only with one of the children for about maybe 3-4 hours, it was just like, it was amazing within those 3 hours, the type of connection you can make mm-hmm. with somebody. And, we view them as little children, but they're almost like little adults. So then after I got done, Martha was handing out little business cards saying like, hey, if you're interested, we have this program. And I took it, put it on my counter. I didn't really think much of it. And then about a week went by and I was like, you know what? I had a lot of fun with that. I'll go ahead and give her a call.
Mm-hmm. This is Martha who's affiliated with Big Brothers.
Yes. Yeah. She, within the week she brought me in, interviewed me and asked me if I had any preferences. I said not at all. I chose to start off in the site-based over by UNLV, and then before you know it, I got hooked up with Logan, and that was now 4 years have passed, and when I had him...
4 years?
Yeah, when I got him, he was fifth grade, probably 4 foot five. Now he's in ninth grade, about 5'11", 6 foot.
How old are you? 14. 14 years old, Logan? So how did you, what was your story coming into this exactly? And how did you get, become available to be tutored by Louis?
Well, at first I just went to the club because my grandma worked late.
Mm-hmm.
But then I noticed that there was this program going on, Big Brothers Big Sisters. They handed me flyers. I brought the flyer home one day. My grandma was asking. Apparently, I got sucked into it. At first, I wasn't too excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I had my first big brother, his name was Keith. It was real fun. I liked it.
What did you guys do? What'd you
well, we hung out, talked a little while. Sometimes we played board games. So it was kind of fun at first. But then he moved because he had to take care of his sick mother, I believe it was. So then about, I believe it was about a month later when I had another big brother, Louis. At first, I wasn't very too excited, I'm telling the truth, because, you know, I was still going over the, and turns out he was a nice guy, I enjoyed his company, and he really takes interest in what I do, and about my education most of the time, and he's really supportive about my future most of the, every time.
What happened with, how long were you with Keith before he had to leave? How long were you guys, was it more than a year?
I think it was about a year.
Yeah.
I believe it was.
Did you find it was hard to break that bond when he ended up having to take
it
off?
It was sort of hard. Not as much, though. Because we basically just talked and did fun things like board games and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like an actual mentoring thing.
Yeah, right.
So
you talked about your education. What are your hopes and dreams out there after you're
well,
done?
Well, basically, one day I... Louis took note that I was very smart in school, so like by the end of my middle school year, he decided that I should fill out an application for a couple of magnet schools around the valley.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I wanted to go to A-Tech. He also suggested I go to SECTA because it was a really good school.
Mm-hmm.
And then some, I think it was another one that was opening up in Summerlin, I think it was. I got accepted to SECTA, and he was very supportive about it. And then he was also supportive that I was going to want to become an engineer.
Uh-huh.
So he suggested a few of the topics or the classes I can go through. And he's very supportive ever since then. So.
And this is a huge responsibility, right, Louis? I mean, it's not just spending time during a period of time. You're helping, you know, advise him on and channeling him on a career path. And is that something that you signed up for?
Yeah, tell you the truth, I mean, you know, when I tell my friends or other people about it, it's not even, you know, you don't sign up thinking you're going to take on all these responsibilities, and you never want it to feel artificial anyways. You kind of want it to just be organic.
Right.
And that's kind of, I signed up, and my intentions were just to talk, teach them how to play some sports I like to play growing up. You know, I had an older brother that was a mentor to me. So
right.
Play some board games, help him with homework, and little by little, I started seeing who he was as a person, where he was more of an introvert, but he excelled at math and he excelled at things. So then I knew I didn't have to spend a lot of time with him with his school because he was extremely smart and he was smarter than I was at his age. So then
he's smarter than I am right now.
Yeah, he is. I've seen his test scores and by far they put me to shame. But then I saw, you know, where he could improve in his, you know, playing sports with him, kind of making, letting him think outside the box, you know, talking about different parts of the world, you know, about Venice, about all these things to kind of broaden his perspective. And then when he got into about sixth, seventh grade, I was like, okay, you know, it seems that mentally he's getting too old to play board games and be around some of the younger kids in the Boys and Girls Club. So I signed up for the program to, and, you know, talking to his grandma, she was all about it, to have them outside of the program. So every Sunday I pick them up and we do different type of activities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then before you know it, I realized, I was like, oh, he's got to go to high school. And I remember, I was like, you know, something that would have really helped me out. Now looking back, I was like, you know, if I would have been able to go to one of these programs, you know, it would have made college even that much easier. So he applied because of his test scores and everything. And they had an engineering program. And it just worked out great. And now that I sit back, it just feels like it all happened just yesterday. And this has been, you know, growing four years.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's nothing in the literature that says, okay, after a certain period of time, you're going to be advising your little on life-changing decisions.
No.
But that's it's okay, right, Kobe, to for this to develop in that way?
Absolutely. I mean, and what Louie and Logan just described is really what we look for. That is the bonding and then ultimately a friendship that ensues. That and I, as a big brother, I'm sure Louie, you can attest to this too, that I get more out of my match when I match with my little brother probably than Jack does, and that's my little brother's name. It's a two-way relationship.
Right.
So there is when we recruit a volunteer, we ask for the 12-month commitment. But part of our commitment as an organization back to the volunteer is that we will be there for the first 12 months intensively to offer any kind of advice, a situation that comes up, something that a volunteer, someone like Louis, step in and said, I don't know how to handle this particular situation. Mm-hmm. I'm not a parent. I'm not a licensed social worker. And then all he has to do is pretty much call Martha. But Martha's calling him once a month just to make sure.
And who's the Martha in this again?
Martha is a program service specialist, and she works at Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Last name?
Martha Zakatenko.
Martha Zakatenko.
Yes.
A woman after my own heart. There's a shout out to Martha Zakatenko. You're listening to Our Metropolis. This is John Katzlamitis. We're talking Big Brothers Big Sisters of Southern Nevada with Kobe Shaw. We got a big Louis Branson. We got a little Logan Hubert here. They're going to be doing a big mix, the big mix fundraiser, Thursday, November 4th. It's from 6 to 10 p.m. at Fashion Show Mall. You touched on something here, Kobe, about a situation that they might not be able to handle. What is typical? And have you guys had any, Louis, have you had anything like that happen where you've had something unfold that was out of your hands that you needed guidance with, or that you needed to touch base with the officials at Big Brothers Big Sisters because it was a little out of your jurisdiction?
No, not really. Only when I had friends that wanted to kind of be part of the program, you know, then I'd reach out to them and let them
guys,
know.
I hope.
Yeah, actually, one of my best friends just signed up 6 months ago, and he's actually Logan's little brother's big brother now.
Oh, wow. Okay. your real little brother's big brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then my girlfriend is actually big sis to his little sister.
Wow.
So kind
that's
of took
a Thanksgiving
over,
party.
Right? Took over the Hubert family. That's how much, you know, I can say with conviction that, you know, that's how
you've
big.
You've infiltrated the entire Hubert family.
Yeah, and it was a great experience. I wanted to share it with other people I cared about within my personal life. And you know what? They love it just as much as I have. And like, you know, you were saying earlier, I mean, it's probably changed my life more than it has probably changed his.
Right. But again, Kobe, what would be something that would lead somebody to a circumstance where they would have to come to you for, you know, additional support.
Additional. So, for instance, a youth that is involved in alcohol or drugs, mm-hmm. and comes to the big, you know, you've formed a relationship at this point, and the little says to the big one day, hey, you know, I was at this party and there was alcohol there. And whereas mm-hmm. as a big, you know, you're not a disciplinarian, you're there to offer support and you're trying to at least show a good example. Mm-hmm. And you have certain questions that come up, like, what is my role here? Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to say? You mm-hmm. know, you can't slap him in the head and say, don't drink, kid.
You can't ground your little.
Yeah.
That kind of defeats the purpose.
But at the same time, you want to at least provide a good example, and you want to at least walk in the correct path. So, and I say this just from some of the stories that I've heard and having dealt with the program side, that there are issues like that come up quite frequently. And in that regard, then the big would call up Big Brothers Big Sisters, get in touch with somebody like Martha, mm-hmm. program specialist, say, hey, Martha, you know, my little's talking about drinking vodka at a party. What should I say?
And what is the answer to that?
I am not a program specialist, John.
But there must be some. She's trained, Martha.
Yes, Martha is trained.
I mean, yeah not your answer, but what is the procedural process from there? What does Martha do?
Procedurally,
with that information?
Okay, that's a real good question because obviously it can go very negative very quickly.
Oh yeah,
and all the program specialists are trained in escalating that level if it were to, you know, serious drug use or even abuse in the family, all the real big mm-hmm. red flags that come up. We
I'm
go
sure
directly.
The big would know something like that right away.
Absolutely.
If there's an abusive situation. I mean, you spend enough time with your little and observe behaviors, you'll know pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's usually the big that comes across this information first. So uh-huh. then it's a matter of when it escalates to the very negative point, then we as an organization give it to the whoever would be involved with that, if it needs to be a state authority or perhaps just an intervening authority, an agency to come in and help talk with the family if there's a mother and father issue, if there's a death in the family, somebody needs some additional counseling, then we can provide at least the correct path to the person that can answer that question.
Does that happen very often?
Not too often. And I bring that up as an extreme case because that's really what we pride ourselves as an organization to be able to say, if this does happen, mm-hmm. we are there to support you.
Right. And you can't, as a responsible big, and Louis would probably be able to speak to this a little bit, you can't turn your blind eye to any issue, right, that is affecting your little, right, even if it's something that dramatic or something that's even minor. I mean, you're pretty in tune with what happens in Logan's life regardless, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, definitely make a connection. You know, if he's happy, you're happy. And, you know, when you're with him, if he's upset, you're upset. And, you know, you wish, you know, you hope the best for them. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough never to have encountered anything even remotely like that. And, you know, at the site that I was at, even with all the other littles, I saw more of the parents who were enrolling a lot of the children in there. They want the best for their child as well. And they may not have the tools or, you know, how to connect with them the same way someone that's maybe a little closer to their age or, you know, and talks about middle school is, you know, maybe it was only 8 years since they were in middle school compared to maybe like 28 mm-hmm. years mm-hmm. since they were in middle school. So,
right.
You know, overall, it's always been positive and I'm happy that I haven't you know, dealt with any of those issues.
Yeah, right. Knock on Formica. Logan, even though you've got a lot of life to live, of course, and this is a snapshot in your life, can you see yourself someday being a big yourself and having a little? Have you thought about that at all?
Yes, I've been thinking about it recently, and I would hopefully one day be able to be a big brother for another little.
It's been
someday.
That good, mm-hmm. But that would be probably pretty far down the line. What's the breaking point? Is it 18?
Actually, no, we have some 16-year-olds that are in the program.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, well, it's not that far off then.
No, and in the site-based programs, we do have high school students ages 16 on up that act as bigs right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we're able to do that is because it's supervised on site with a staff member.
And site-based, again, tell me what that is. That's a totally controlled atmosphere where they meet at a site,
yes,
and spend the time together on the site, right?
For a period of 1 hour a week, mm-hmm. Be it at an elementary school or a Boys and Girls Club or a YMCA, it's a supervised setting where you take, say, 10 littles and 10 bigs, and for about the first half an hour, they're going to work on academic work, and then the next half an hour is pretty much just, you know, play board games, go outside, do whatever. Mm-hmm. But in that hour time, the really good thing about the site-based program is it is consistent. And for a lot of children in the Valley, there's not a lot of consistency in their lives. You take a family that's having to move from place to place, and you know, this poor young man or woman is going from different school to different school. Now you have an hour of consistency a week that this kid knows that he's gonna mm-hmm. he or she's gonna meet his their big.
And it's huge to follow through on that responsibility, isn't it? You can't miss that hour, right?
No. you don't want to set the tone that way.
Yeah, right. What do you guys have? What's your next plan with Louis? What's your next thing you're gonna do? You have anything planned for the next visit, aside from this, of course?
Oh, other than the fashion show mall thing, mm-hmm. I'm not really quite sure. It's usually sometimes Louis plans it, sometimes he asks me what I want to do.
Well, let's talk about the Big Mix before we get you out of here. What happens at the Big Mix?
The Big Mix at the Fashion Show Mall. This
Mixo
is our
de Grande.
Yes, this is our once a year event. We scaled that last year. We had a whole bunch of different small events, and what we did is we took a look at it, said how much money are we spending. Are we really netting anything out of all these small events? And we funneled all of our resources into one big fundraiser. And it's on November 4th, like you said, 6 to 10 p.m. in the Fashion Show Mall down on the runway on the floor.
Right.
It is also an appreciation for our bigs. All bigs are going to get in for free, and they can bring a guest for $25. If anybody wants information, give us a call at 731-2227 or log on to our website, bbbsn.org. It's going to be a fun party. There's rumors of we're going to start it with a fashion show.
Okay.
And there's going to be 10 sets of bigs, big and a little, that are dressing up in clothes from Neiman Marcus.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah.
You guys walking?
Yes, we will be moonlighting as supermodels.
Really?
The big mix.
You get outfitted, really?
Yeah, we are.
I'm not too enthusiastic about that.
Or it'll change your life, Logan. This could wipe out any career plans you have already. Up on the runway at Fashion Show Mall. Well, it sounds like a really cool time. And those numbers, Kobe, the contact information you gave, the number and the website, are ways to...
Ways to get a hold of it, right, and to buy a ticket for the event itself.
Is that the way to get to you if you want to volunteer?
Absolutely.
Or you know somebody in need?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you segued into that, John, because...
I'm Mr. Segway.
Above and beyond everything else, what we need more than anything are quality volunteers. Mm-hmm. And we need volunteers that are going to step up and be exactly like Louis and say, you know what, I'm willing to take this risk and then see where it goes from there, because I promise you... future volunteers out there, that it is very much worth your time and worth your while. We need volunteers.
You're servicing, you said, 400 total. Is that an estimated number? Is that a cap? Is that what the services provide? How great is the need on top of that?
Well, we have the need is huge. We have double that. We have roughly 350, 400 kids on the waiting list right now.
Wow.
And to say waiting list is really a bad word too, because we're gonna service a match as soon as we're able to. Mm-hmm. But the funding issues come in, because we are not going to match if we look at Logan, we see hit on a piece of paper that says Logan wants to be a little, and then I see another piece of paper that says Louis wants to be a big. And we have this potential match. We see that they have separate likes. They seem to get along well. You know, we've already had the interview. We're not going to match them unless we have the staff support to at least stick with them for 12 months.
Right.
So, it's a two-way street of commitment. So mm-hmm. our need right now, obviously, is volunteers. And, of course, we always need money, but that's that's kind of...
First things first, right?
Right.
Get people to
exactly.
help you with the money and later at a later time. I hear you. We are out of time, gentlemen. Thanks, everybody, for coming down here. The big mix is November 4th, Thursday, at Fashion Show Mall. Go to www.bbbsn.org for information. And that number again, Kobe?
731-2227.
And that's for information about how to volunteer. Also for Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Southern Nevada. And for all of us at Armatropolis, this is John Katzalamidas reminding you to stay tuned for Observations.
Thank you for joining us for Our Metropolis. Join us again next Tuesday at 6 p.m. for Our Metropolis.